is the E36 M3, like this one on Cars and Bids, the 964 of BMW, and can Doug DeMuro make it happen? Let's find out. Boy, you're getting excited because it's time for Bid Nerd, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. Welcome to Bid Nerds. My name is John Polnick, along with my partner, Michael Deeb. What's up, Michael Deeb?
Yeah, dude. What's happening, man? How are you?
You know, we're making a show here about interesting cars. If you're new to the channel, welcome. What we do here is we dig through P Car Market, Cars and Bids, Bring a Trailer, Hagerty Marketplace, all these auction sites, and we find the most interesting car to talk about. And we do just that. We include you in the conversation. Then we make a prediction as to what we think the results of that particular car's auction will be. And then it gets really interesting, Michael Deeb. We go into the future. We have a flux capacitor right here in the studio, in the Rami studio here in downtown Las Vegas, where we can go into the future. And we go ahead and reconcile our poor... what would it be, predictions with what actually happens, with reality. And reality slaps us in the face. It is bitter, it is painful, and we hope it is also fun to watch. Hit the subscribe, like, and notification button if you haven't done so already. Michael D, before we get to the most interesting car of the day, you want to give a quick shout-out to our good friends at Godden Classic?
Absolutely. So our friends at Godden Porsche of Las Vegas were the very first Porsche Classic partner in North America. Porsche of Germany vetted the dealership for the passion, the expertise, and the capacity to take on Porsche Classic. So if you need parts, if you need service, or if you're looking to buy or sell a Porsche Classic car, call our friends at Godden Porsche and tell them the Bid Nerd sent you.
Do it. Good folks over there.
If it's good enough for Porsche AG off Germany, then it's good enough for me. Dang nabbit. That's why I choose Godden Porsche.
You know what I heard is also good enough for you is Cars und Cafe. It is the car show that we do at the end of the month here, the last Sunday of the month of every month. We've been doing it for almost 6 years now here in Las Vegas, and we are expanding. We're heading up the coast. We're also going to have our inaugural Cars und Cafe San Francisco. When? Where, Michael Deeb?
I don't know. At the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month. I think it's... July 29th, JP? Help me out. You got a calendar open?
Got a calendar handy. Let's see.
Yeah, I think it's July 29th. We're going to do this in Brisbane, California. That's right near the
July 30th. July 30th.
Yeah, July 30th. That's what I said. July 30th. Yes. Indeed. If you show up on the 29th, you'll be just a day early. On July 30th at about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll all be out there. 350 Industrial Way at the pit stop. We'll have coffee and donuts. There's going to be a lot of Porsches. And the shop will be open. The pit stop will be open so that you can see some of the cool cars that are being worked on. It's actually a really cool time to be there, JP. The months leading up to August, Monterey Car Week, are always big for the shop. There's usually about a half dozen cars there that are being fervently worked on. As they prepare for Pebble Beach and all of the hoopla that's going on in Monterey Car Week. So it should be a really cool time to peek behind the curtain and see what's going on at the pit stop. So a big thank you to Rafi and Yuri for letting us in. And we look forward to seeing you all out there. Please come out. We'd love to have you join us.
All right. Love those guys. All right. Let's get to it. What is the most interesting car of the day, Michael Deeb? Let's have a little conversation about that and include our friends in the comments. Oh, hey, look at that.
Okay. So Boom. Check it out. Cousin Mark, formerly of Fremont, California, now of Foster City, California, texted this to me last week, and he said, boom, this is the most interesting car of the week. And what we're looking at, Cousin Mark found this 1998 BMW M3 convertible on Cars and Bids. Pretty nice car, John. We're talking about 73,000 original miles. The car is located in Carlsbad, California. And of course, we know that the M3 convertible is going to be a 3.2 liter inline six with a 5-speed manual transmission. You can see that the car has the 17-inch M Contour 2 wheels. I think they are staggered width. I think they're an inch wider in the rear. But what's really cool about this car, it's got a bunch of Dinan stuff on there. John, I'm just going to whip through this list of modifications. It's got a Dinan Stage 3 tune. It's got a Dinan cold air intake, Dinan high flow throttle bodies, and a Dinan full exhaust system. Turner Motorsports made the Motorsport front splitter. It's got the M lightweight decals on it. And then there's also a really cool interior. There's Alcantara and M-Tech cloth upholstery with the gray carpet. So it's kind of cool. What they essentially made is like a lightweight convertible, at least from an appearance standpoint. This car might actually be faster than a lightweight with all the Stage 3 tuning kit and the cold air intake, the throttle bodies and the exhaust. I bet you this car is probably putting down closer to 270 horsepower, JP. They did some of the suspension as well, I think. Where did I read that? No, maybe not. Maybe I made that up in my mind. But anyway, it looks like a really nice car. It's well under 100,000 miles. M3 coupes have started to really creep up. This car is a looker all day long, but it looks like it's got the motor to match. So Mark thought it'd be a good car for us to cover. Now, once upon a time in 1999, when I turned 29 years old, the girl I was dating at the time rented an M3 convertible for me to have for the weekend to celebrate my 29th birthday, which was very, very sweet. Laura Potts, I love you. So anyways, that was really cool. And so she showed up at my house to pick me up, to take me to this dinner party we were having. It was like, she organized, right? She was way more popular than I was. So it was like, you know, almost 100 people at the party. And we pulled up in this light blue M3 convertible and then drove the car for the weekend. We went up to wine country and stuff. That was a memorable weekend. So I've always loved the E36. My really good friend Nick had a coupe that we used to track. That was my first real exposure to driving a car on the track, was his E36 M3. I had a blast in that car. So I've always loved these things. My favorite, of course, is the lightweight. And so when Mark sent me over this car, I had seen it in Cars and Bids, but he's like, you guys have to cover this. This thing's really cool. I have to say, I love all the stuff that was done to it. If I owned a white convertible, I might be susceptible to doing all the same stuff. I don't know if I'd go so far as the interior. I imagine that was pretty expensive. I don't know if the ROI on the interior makes as much sense as all the money spent on the motor, but I really like the car. The coupes are fantastic. The convertibles, they do not have the same structural integrity. When you go around a turn or when you're on a bumpy road on these cars, the entire things flex and shake and rattle and vibrate. These are not good convertibles. They'd be just a good daily driver. They would just be a good daily driver. They would not be the car I would take on a drive and expect up to be able to keep up with all of my friends in convertible 911s. I feel like a convertible 911 has 95 to 100% of the integrity of the coupes, whereas when you go to the M3, I say it's like 65% of the integrity. It feels like the car wants to fall apart, but it's still a fun car to drive. It just doesn't give you the same confidence in the feedback. So that's my nitpicking on that. But I like this car, JP, and I assume you're going to like it too, not just because it's a convertible, but I just think you look at it, you go, damn, that splitter and the decals and the interior and that motor, this would be a car I would love to spend the summer in. I think they have good AC and they're fun to drive. I like this car. I hope it does well. So do you like it as much as I do, John? Because clearly I'm sort of fawning over it. And if you had it to sell, would Cars and Bids be the platform you chose? Or even if you didn't chose, would you be okay with it? So I send it to you with all of that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I love the car. I'm just, the thing I hate about it is that I didn't get one when they were still like 10 or 15 grand all day. Like the nicest one in the world not that long ago was 15 grand. But, you know, E36s have always been, they're a lot like 964s in a lot of ways. They were cheap for so long that the people that bought them, you know, so many of them were just super, super abused. Unlike the 964, though, there are a ton of them. There were many of these cars made and many of them on the road because they were really the best bang for the buck back in the day when this car, was contemporary. I mean, and I remember how expensive they were for the longest time. And then the E46 came out, And you thought, oh, okay, E36s are going to be, you know, cheap. And they weren't for a long time. And then the floor dropped out on them, and then they just became the car that all the kids wanted to go and drift and stuff. You know, I always joke about cabriophobes and stuff like that. The E36 platform is very much an open shoebox. It is pretty creaky. But for street performance driving, you know, canyon ripping and stuff like that, I don't, you know, a strut tower brace and coilovers are going to overcome all of those issues to the point that unless you're Mario Andretti, you're not going to be able to. You'll have no problem keeping up with your 911 buddies, especially if they're in, like, air-cooled 911 buddy. For real, I mean, air-cooled 911s are freaking fantastic, but if you're in a G-body with a 915 transmission, the transmission in these things is buttery smooth, and you can really, really soak up all the power out of this thing and transmit it onto whatever pavement you're trying to tear up, whereas it's much harder in an old air-cooled 911. So, yeah, I think this car is beautiful. I love what they did with it. You know, you had mentioned, would this interior upgrade that they did be worth it? And digging through the photos, the answer is yes, because look at the old. Well, you know, and I'm not ugging on the color. I'm ugging on the condition. I mean, it was all tore up, you know, so it had to go, you know. I actually kind of like that. You know, we bust on our good friend, you know, Michael Meyer, Buddha, with his 996 with this kind of like peanut butter color interior.
Bertha.
Yeah, beautiful car, red on peanut butter. But unlike the E36, you know, the accents are black. The dash, the steering wheel, the center console, most everything is black. And then you've got the splash of orange. And
John,
I think it looks great.
I have to defend our friend Buddha. Bertha doesn't have a center console. any longer. It's been omitted, and nice. I think he likes to call that ketchup on peanut butter.
Very nice. I don't know, this MTEC interior I think looks great, and it must have cost him a pretty penny, because those are not cheap. It'll be interesting to see what this car does and where it'll go, because E36s are definitely on the up. You know, convertibles are always less expensive. Boy, that interior would have matched your sweatshirt there.
You've got
a Bertha outfit on. You've got the sea of beige and the red on top. Okay. All right. You and Buddha were coordinating before this episode.
Absolutely. Always got love for Buddha. Yeah. Without a doubt. So the car is a looker. I agree with you. They're a little bit rattly, but it wouldn't prevent me from having fun in one. I don't know if it would be my first choice for a convertible. I'd probably rather have a 964 convertible. That would be amazing.
Yeah, but a 964 convertible is going to be a lot more money, I would think.
More than twice as much money. Yeah. So that brings us to the question, how do we think this car is going
to
do?
Hey, before you get to the number, you want to talk about rattles and creaks? You put that hard top on this thing, that's where the rattles and creaks are going to be really annoying. When you're driving this thing around with the top down and you're on the coast and you're having fun or whatever, you don't hear the rattles and creaks because you get wind noise, honestly. And that's just part of the
experience. Or
the stereo. But as soon as you bolt that fiberglass thing to this car, it's going to be flexing on that. That thing is going to make tons of noise. Unlike the hard tops, when you bolt them to like a convertible 911, you bolt them up, they're super quiet and they don't creak. But this thing will make a lot of noise. But it's still pretty nice when the weather goes south. That was one other thing that I wanted to mention before you got to the number two, is that speaking of the convertible top looks like it's pretty worn. The actual soft top, the rear window, that plastic window, looks like it is not long for this earth. It doesn't have any cracks in it yet. Let's see here. Can you guys see that? But the trim around the edges is given out. And unfortunately, I don't know anyone. I've never been able to find anyone that would ever just replace that. You know, there's no easy way to fix that. It's pretty much replace the whole top or leave it. And I think having the hard top is one of those things where it's like, all right, well, the convertible top is just an emergency measure. You're out somewhere and you get caught in a rain squall. At least this is good enough to put up and deal with until it dries out again. And then the bad weather, you put the hard top on, And you don't have to worry about it. So I wouldn't, if I were to own this car, I wouldn't bother replacing that top. But I think there are some people that would absolutely would. You got to factor it in the overall value, right?
Spoken like a son of Seattle. There he is. Yeah. Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, from Snohomish to your homish. That hardtop, by the way, JP, is a, according to Doug DeMiro, very rare factory hardtop, which I guess is
and
not common.
Expensive. People sell those on the open market too.
Yeah. So there you go. Right. So, John, with just a couple of days to go before this lot closes, thank you, Cousin Mark, for submitting this car. Our car is sitting at $14,000 on 12 bids. I'm telling you, JP, I have no idea where this thing could land. So without much education or much ado of nothing, it's low miles. It's got some nice mods, but I don't think anybody's going to pay for the mods. Yet the livery and the seats and everything, I think that's what's going to make somebody buy it. So I'm contradicting myself left, right, up, down, everywhere, backwards, forwards. This one is a head scratcher for me, and there's not a lot of hair up there. So it's just, I'm like scratching my brain. For no rhyme or reason whatsoever, I'm just going to spit out $27,000, and I'm really just pulling that out of down there.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice car, but I don't think it's nice enough to pull that kind of money. 25 grand is kind of the number that I had in my head. I honestly don't think it'll get. I'm gonna say 25 grand just in case, because it is a looker, and they did it right. Cars and Bids, I do think is the right place for this car, because it's weird. I feel like on BAT, you're going to get the people that are going to be more interested in the perfect one,
right,
that has the original interior, that is all blah, blah, blah. Whereas Cars and Bids audience is a little bit more open to the funky stuff, because Doug is a funky MF-er. This car definitely makes sense for his platform. And 25 grand, what do you get that's better than this car for 25 grand? From an enthusiast 70, car point of view.
Yeah, 70,000 miles from 1998. I mean, that's a low mile car.
Yeah. You know? And just, I mean, these powertrains are darn near bulletproof. This is a car that you can drive hard, maintain it regularly, and you'll get 200,000 miles out of this. From an enthusiast car point of view, there are other cars that you could get that may be on par. You know, what do you get? Like a 944 Turbo or an Alpha GTV. The Alpha GTV is going to be sexy, but it's going to break all the time.
It's not going to be as fast as this either. You know what I mean?
Right, so,
And this car's got, I mean, JP, there's $10,000 in parts under the motor, under the hood. So, I mean, you couldn't. Yeah, it's a bang for the buck is the way to say it. I have a trivia BMW question, because I'm a BMW fan, but I'm not a BMW head, if that makes any sense. Could you get an E36 convertible ordered from the factory with Vader seats, or were Vader seats only an option on the coupe?
Good question. That's a really good question. I'm going to say yes when they were available, but I don't know how much money I would actually bet on that. I'm pretty sure that they were available. The other thing I wanted to bring up, maybe I'll save it for the other side of the break, but, 25 grand, you can find E46 M3s for about in convertible, not in coupe, but in convertible.
Yeah.
That's about what they're going. And you're getting a lot more performance and a much more modern car. Is the E36 now going to be that body style, because it's a 90s body style? Is that now going to be worth more than E46s of the same vintage? Of the same kind
apples
of
to apples.
Levels, kind of like we're seeing in the Porsche world. We're seeing 964s are now easily worth more than 993s in their contemporary comparison. So, is that coming with E36s, because so many E36s were roached and now the good ones are going to be actually worth more? Is the E46 the better value, like the 993 is compared to the 964?
I will say this, an E46 coupe with a manual and like a competition package is your future classic. That's a car that, like, they've already gone up in value, but if you could find one that you were like betting on the future of that car, that's a car that's going to be worth big money, I think, down the road. They're good cars.
You know? What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below. Now it's time for you guys to play along. Again, if you're new to the channel and you've stuck around this long, thank you very much. This is where we have some fun. We're going to fire up the flux capacitor. We do it kind of like what's the TV show, The Price is Right, where you put in your bid in the comments below and you see if you beat the nerds. If you're better at this than us, chances are you are, because who isn't?
When you say the Price is Right, I immediately think of Bob Barker in Happy Gilmore.
Fighting him, yeah.
Price is wrong, bitch. And then he punches out Happy Gilmore.
Spay and neuter your pets. All right, let's find out what happens with this car right after this. Hey, guys, I got to tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've got to call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. All right, guys, welcome to the future. You know what time it is. It's time to find out how wrong the bid nerds are. Michael Deeb, I like that hat of yours, dude. You're rocking the nerd.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The head of our editing, production, shipping, logistics, marketing sent this out to me. So thank you, Rochelle. I appreciate it.
Is that one of the official Guys Customs ones? Does it have a Guys Custom bead on it?
No.
Some of them have the new ones that will have a – we had Guys Customs bracelets make our swag. So we got keychains and hats and all that stuff. I've got my Cars Un Cafe hat ready for Cars Un Cafe in San Francisco, starting
first
out,
ever
first one inaugural this Sunday, but this month, the end of this month, last Sunday this month, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The 30th, Sunday, the 30th, 340 Industrial Way. I think we printed 350, but if you go to 350, you'll still see us. So don't worry about it. It's not totally incorrect. I think it's the door next door in the same building as 350, but the official address is 340. So anyways, whatever. Come to Industrial Way in Brisbane, California. Get there at like 7, 8 a.m. Get a good parking place, coffee and donuts, and meet some really cool people and see some amazing Porsche cars.
Yeah, we're going to come out, some of us. I'll be there from, obviously, from Las Vegas. We got a few other people coming out from Vegas. The Vegas Cars and Cafe is still happening as well. For the record, we are not moving it from Las Vegas to San Francisco. It's going to happen simultaneously.
I'm going to put this, I'm going to drop this live on the air. Anybody that comes out from Vegas, I will buy dinner for on Saturday night. So if you are in Vegas and a Cars and Cafe regular and you come to San Francisco for my version of the show, I'm buying your dinner on Saturday night. So that goes for everybody, anyone from Vegas, and you know who you are.
Nice. So. That sounds fantastic. At the Nob Hill Cafe, that's one of my favorite restaurants anywhere. Not just San Francisco. So definitely looking forward to that trip. We just need to cool off, dude. It is freaking hot here in Las Vegas.
We'll leave the door open at the Nob Hill Cafe. You guys will be freezing.
A car I wish I could bring to Cars Un Cafe San Francisco. It's not exactly on brand because Cars Un Cafe is mostly air-cooled Porsches, but we like classic Euro, and today's car is definitely
Cousin
a car
Mark.
That would be kind of fantastic to have in the Bay, and we would love to see a car like this show up to Cars Un Cafe in the Bay Area, even though it's not a Porsche. What happened with the little BMW? Michael D, let's figure it out.
Cousin Mark submitted this E36 1998 BMW M3 convertible that somebody just totally restyled to look like a lightweight cabrio. And I got to tell you, they did a pretty good job with it. That being said, I think I believed in it maybe a little too much, JP. I was the high bid at $27,000. You came in just pragmatically underneath me at $25,000. Our car sold on Cars and Bids for just $20,250, and it sold on relatively pedestrian 26 bids. So JP, you won that one, but let's get real. You were 25% over, which is a pretty big mark.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look, if this were a
you
coupe,
dissing my was, win, I see how you are.
Yeah, let's qualify your win. I mean, you barely won, you know. So let's see. If this were a white 98 coupe and they redid the interior in Alcantara, redid the suspension and did some dining tweaks to it and then put the M3 livery on it, you know, this would be a substantially more expensive car. Coupes in the E36 world, the coupe is worth more than the Cabrio. So are you surprised by the number it won at? Like, you took the under and parked yourself on the right side of me, but since this car came in for a little bit less, is that because E36 convertibles aren't worth a lot of money, or is this because it was on Doug DeMiro's website? What's your take on this? Because I think it might have something to do with the website, but, you know, he does sell the weird stuff. So, it's kind of tough to read because we were both pretty over on this. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think that this car belongs on Cars and Bids. I don't think the platform hurt this at all. For a car that's not stock, like we talked about before the break, this car has a ton of kind of OEM mods, right? This car isn't a modded car per se. It's not like an outlaw version. I don't know if BMWs even use that term, but this car looks stock, even though it's got a lot of stuff that on it that didn't come from the factory. And it's all they're all things that I think you and I and most of us with a little bit of taste would have done. So that said, though, convertibles just sell for less than coupes, and E36s are coming up, but they're not super hot. They're not like 9.6. They're not the 9.64 of BMW just yet, and maybe they will be soon.
E46 is kind of having their moment right now too.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because I don't know if an E46 in the exact same condition would go for any more in a convertible. Again, coupes absolutely worth more, especially in BMW. But if this were an E46 coupe with the same miles, if this were an E46 M3 convertible with a hard top, with an upgraded but factory interior with a nice color combination and all the things that this car has, it doesn't have a ton of miles on it. In fact, I would dare to say that this is a low mile car for an E36. Find an E36 that doesn't have 100 gajillion miles on it, right?
Yeah. So here's my take on the E46, and then we'll get back to this car, and I apologize, sure. But there's a real, I think that a lot of E46 got taken with the SMG. So when you find the under 100,000 mile upgraded and refurbished manual E46 convertible, it will bring a hefty premium because I think the manuals, kind of like the Ferraris, the manuals are just heavily coveted right now because they're a dying breed, you know. And
yeah,
the SMG
I think that goes
wasn't
without
a good gearbox.
Saying, though, I think that when we talk about SMGs, they're not even on the list. They're not even like if this were an SMG with all things being equal, I don't even think it'd bring $15,000. I mean, SMGs are worthless. They are, they're sales proof. Nobody wants to buy one, right? So bringing it up is kind of moot. I mean, I hate to say it, but duh, right? It'd be like a Tiptronic 996 or 964.
Just wanted to make sure it was in the collective context.
It's not apples to apples. And even though we're comparing an E36 to an E46, which are not apples to apples either, it's just way off I think it's on just a completely different farm. But fair enough. I mean, would you rather drive an E46 SMG over this E36 with a manual?
No.
Come on. Of course. No. Of course not. Right? No. It's not even – it took you exactly a nanosecond to answer that. The only reason it took any longer than that is because your brain is trying to see if I was giving you a trick question or not. It's just like, but this is a great car. And with the heart, I am surprised it didn't get closer to our number because the miles are low and it does have a removable hardtop. And those removable hardtops by themselves, that unit is worth a few grand. Just at least $2,000-$3,000just by itself. So this E46, I think it should have brought that much money. I'm sorry, this E36 should have brought the same amount of money without that hardtop. The yeah. only downside is that this soft top was a little beat up. It's not roached, but it is just to cover you up in case of a rain squall, because it does have some, you know, tears and rips and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think
while, it's a great car. While you champion that the hardtop is worth some money, so are all the dyno upgrades on this thing. Again, you couldn't replicate this car for anywhere near the money. So this car was really well bought, and at least in this nerd's opinion, it went for less than I thought it would. I actually thought this car could bring $30,000 because it was such a looker, and there's so many great points and parts to consider when you're buying it. The upgraded interior costs money and labor, let alone the Alcantara and the Hurricane cloth. Just the labor to pay somebody to put that in is a couple thousand dollars. The hardtop's worth money, and then all the dyno upgrades. So I really thought this car was going to bring money. I'm surprised by the result and happy for the buyer. I feel bad for the seller. I do wonder if it would have brought maybe a small premium on BAT, but I do not disagree with you that this was the correct first choice platform for that car.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it would have brought a couple more bucks, but you know, the increased hassles to get it on there.
Right. Plus he would have been nitpicked by crazy in the comments for a car like this.
It is, you know, another thing too, with these low miles, that this car is going to last for a long time. This is a car, whoever bought this, I mean, it's not like maintenance is cheap on this car, but compared to a lot of other cars of the same kind of performance level, man, this car, you can put 200,000 miles on this powertrain. It is, you know, this car is ready to go. Keep it maintained, and there are no big, huge Achilles heels on this powertrain. So I don't know. I'm kind of looking at this car going, man, I wish I could have gotten a chance to buy it. I would almost sell I would almost sell my 964 convertible to drive this and pocket the, you know, 30 or 40 grand that I would have extra laying around, just to, because the driving experience on this might be as good or better. I just said that out loud. What do you guys think of the results of this little E36 M3 convertible with a hardtop and some cool little upgrades? Do you think this car was well bought, or do you think it's just still an E36 and you can't get past the fact that they were $5,000 forever? Let us know in the comments below. How'd you do? Shout out to the Nerd Herd. Look, there are a lot of people in the Nerd Herd. The Nerd Herd is growing. We are, at the time of this recording, I think we are maybe 10 people away from 1,000 subscribers. Oh, I mean, we are so close, Michael Deeb. What do we got to do to get to 1,000? It seems like this last, 30 or 40 is just killing us.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're just about a dozen away. That is crazy. I don't know, man. I mean, we're begging. We're giving out swag. We're inviting you to Cars and Coffee. We're going to see you all in Monterey. I mean, and then Rennsport Reunion is this year. This is a great year to be a nerd, part of the herd.
You know, I got to say too, we're going to do a better job at shouting out folks who have been part of the herd. We always single out, you know, like Family Guy 5150, Anthony and Ross and stuff like that, and Michael Buda. Yeah. But there are a ton of other guys that have been with us for a while. And I think we got called out for always naming those guys and not them. You know, just scrolling through Nate Bogdan, Empty Man, Sunday Drives, Chris Broneal. Sorry, I'm sure I'm butchering your last name. I'm just scrolling through some of the comments here. Kevin Cody, I've seen his name a bunch of times. Let's hear, obviously, Tech Daily, that's our friend in town.
The Silent Nerds, my cousin Mark, my cousin Michael Karuba, he watches the show regularly. John Duckworth watches the show always, all the time. We're actually going to cover a car that he submitted in the following week, so that'll be kind of fun. I think that'll be Duckworth's first official submission, because he always sends us cars the day they're closing. I'm like, I can't do anything with this. So anyways, we love you guys. Thank you.
Catching 45, Rob Hendrickson.
Mark Shane, I just started working with Haggerty and Broad Arrow Group, and turns out there's a guy in my company that is part of the Nerd Herd on the East Coast in Boston. Shout out to Mark Shane. The nerd from down under who's living in Boston. So thank you, Mark, for watching, and excited to see if we do some fun things together in the future.
of course, Ray Melville, Poji Bate. Man, I am butchering some of these. We got a lot of new subscribers. Blurb DLS one. Man, some of these I just don't know. John Taylor. Who else are we forgetting here? There's so many. Norman, Edward, Adam is a new one, I think. Bending Rodriguez. That's pretty awesome. We should do an episode of comments. Renan, Kevin, Cody. I don't know if I'm doubling up here, but yeah, we should definitely do a comments episode because the comment section is getting pretty interesting.
That'll be fun when we go live. So maybe that's one of the first formats we do when we go live, which is just around the corner. Buddha said he was looking forward to the fact that we're going to go live. He said when we announce that we're going live, he will make his way down to the studio to be in the audience with us.
Oh, nice!
So that would be awesome. So Buddha, that's a hard commitment now. It's live. You have to show.
Excellent. All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.